Galatians chapter 5. Let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Verse 22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." What's the next one? Gentleness. And I got to preach on that today. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for the Word of God this morning. I'm thankful, God, that You can tell us what things in our lives are not of Thee and what things need to be more evident that are from Thee. I pray, Father, this morning that You will do the preaching. May the Holy Ghost of God speak this morning from heaven. God, would You give us receptive hearts, those that might struggle to listen, those that might have a tendency to be wandering in their mind and heart. I pray, God, that You'll get their attention this morning, and God, that You'll help every one of us to listen. And I ask, Father, that You'll do a work in our midst, that we would learn what it means to have this fruit in our lives, the Spirit giving us the fruit of gentleness. Help us, God, I pray, and speak from heaven. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we've covered love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And this morning we come to the subject of gentleness. Now before I talk to you about gentleness, there's some preliminaries that we must cover. Some things I think you and I need to consider. I want to first remind you that Bible words are not limited to our definition. Now, the reason I say that, a lot of people say, yeah, we want Brother Ron to preach on that gentleness, or we want Brother Ron to preach on love. And that's fine. That's wonderful. As long as you're willing for him to preach on God's definition of gentleness and God's definition of love. Too many Christians have a worldly mindset, and their definitions are formed by what the world says. And I'll give you an example. We think love means, or some people think love means you never raise your voice or never get angry. Some people would think, well, if you love your children, you wouldn't dare spank your child. The Bible says if you don't spank them, you hate them. How many of you believe if a loving parent will sometimes have to discipline their children? Let me see your hands. That's what the Bible says. How many of you believe, that Jesus loved Peter? Amen. He loved him. On one occasion in Matthew 16, Peter answered the question, right? And Jesus said, hey, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And in that same chapter, Peter rebuked the Lord, and Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You wouldn't have thought that's love, would you? You got to be careful about you imposing your definition on a word in the Bible. And if you'll keep that in mind, you might allow me to preach with liberty on the subject of gentleness here in just a few moments. Today, people equate, they say, oh, they're so full of joy. Well, that may or may not be true, but joy is not necessarily silliness. Just because somebody's always joking and laughing and cutting up and that kind of thing does not mean they're filled with joy. I know some lost, hell-bound sinners that have that. But that's not joy. Did you know that joy can be quiet? Joy can be reserved. Joy can be inward. It's not always outward. I understand if a person's filled with joy every now and then, it ought to show up on their face. But I'm just saying to you, we need to keep this in mind. Our definition is not always God's definition. Another thing that I want you to remember this morning is that you can be obeying God and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and not have all nine of these qualities at the same time. Are you with me? You can be obeying God and filled with the Holy Spirit and not have all nine of these qualities at the same time. How many of you believe that God is long-suffering? Amen? He is long-suffering. But I'll tell you what He said in Genesis 6. He said, my Spirit's not always going to strive with man 120 years from now, and I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. What was that? That was the wrath of God. That was the anger of God. Just because you're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you're going to have all nine of these qualities at the whole all time. Every now and then somebody will get up and preach, and they'll preach with a little fire, or they'll preach with a little fervor, or they'll preach with a little anger, and somebody will say, well, now I just don't believe that's of God. It might be 100% God. That might not be, but it could be. Just because it's not sweet and soothing doesn't mean God's not in it. Amen, amen, and amen. Jesus had joy, did He not? But He also grieved and wept at the graveside of Lazarus. Just because you have joy doesn't mean you can't ever get troubled. The Bible says over there in John, His spirit was troubled within Him. You can have joy and still be troubled every now and then. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, is He not? But I'll tell you what the Prince of Peace did one time. He made a homemade whip and drove a bunch of people out of the temple and told them to get out. Now, you wouldn't have thought that's love. That's the epitome of love. It just didn't show up the way you like for it to show up. So it's crucial that if we're going to understand what the Bible has to say about these things, we need to allow the Bible to be our guide and our teacher. I'm reminding you of these things simply because the fruit of the Spirit in our lives should not be gauged by some artificial, phony, sugar-coated mindset of what joy is. You know, God's not this tender, loving grandfather who never gets angry. And Christians are not supposed to be phony. They're supposed to be real. And you know what? A real God gets angry and real Christians get angry. A real man gets angry. It's how he deals with his anger that's important. Matter of fact, you can be angry and gentle at the same time. Yes, you can. You see, I want us to know the God of the Bible, not this mystical, mythical God that everybody's trying to create. And now the world says, now there's a Christian. He's so, and they describe this sugar-coated, phony, baloney Christian that's not even real. Let me hasten to say, while God is not always a sugar-coated, loving grandfather, neither is He always ready to condemn everybody just because they don't see the truth as quick as you saw it. So I got to cover both grounds around Cornerstone. Got both sides of this thing. Neither is God this sugar-coated, syrupy grandfather winking at everybody's sin, but at the same time, neither is He ready to condemn everybody in the world that doesn't see things eye to eye with you. You see, we forget that God was very patient with us. And we ought to be patient with others. And we ought to love those that don't necessarily see it the way we see it. Amen. Now, two things to remember here. God does know what He's doing. Is it not amazing to you? I don't know about you. Let me just talk about me for a minute. Sometimes I actually forget that God knows what He's doing. That seems strange. I read my Bible daily. I pray daily. I pastor a church. And yet sometimes I literally forget that God is really in control and knows what He's doing. How many of you forget that? Thank you. I feel better. Misery loves company. A second thing quickly to say is that there are different strokes for different folks. So that's one of the things I had to learn as a father. And if you fathers have not learned this, let me tell you something. Let me pick out this crowd right here. You do not deal with this one like you deal with that one. I say, I don't know all these kids that well, but I know these two pretty well. And Paul and Peter are of a different spirit. And you don't deal with them the same. My boys were the same way. You did not deal with Stephen and Jacob the same way. And I can tell you, there's some things that will get this boy's attention, and there's some things that get this boy's attention, and they're not the same things. Now, if I was guessing, well, I won't do it this morning because I might be wrong, make me look bad, but I got a feeling I know what it takes to get that boy's attention.
I got a feeling I can tell you what it takes to get his attention. And I guarantee it's not the same thing as what gets Peter's attention. My boys were like that. They required different methods. Now my girls are a little bit closer in what it takes to get their attention, but the point being, do you reckon God understands that it might take one thing to get Brother Sam's attention? It might take something else to get Brother Mike's attention. And folks, you've got to remember that. And sometimes you wonder why I'm preaching like I'm preaching. Maybe God's trying to get somebody else's attention. It might take that for them. Amen. We got a God who knows how to deal with people. And He knows what will get their attention. Now, one other comment before we get to this thing of gentleness. Don't forget, we're talking about fruit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit that requires consistent and constant attention and care and nurturing and pruning and cultivating. And folks, so sorry to say this to you on Sunday morning. If the only time you come to church is on Sunday morning, chances are you're going to miss some pruning that you really needed. Chances are you're going to miss some cultivating that you really needed. Chances are you're going to miss some nurturing and some care. You're going to miss some of the things. And I realize that all of the fruit is not taken care of on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I'm just saying to you, if some of you don't get more consistent and more constant about your walk with God, you're not going to bear fruit. You are not going to yield the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life by becoming a Sunday morning Christian and being disinterested in the people of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the power of God, the precepts of God. Hey, you need church, you need preaching, you need the brethren, you need prayer, you need fellowship, you need to be in the house of God, or you'll never really bear fruit like God wants you to bear fruit. We're talking about fruit this morning. Lost people can be gentle, but I'm not talking about that kind of gentle. I'm talking about something that only the Holy Spirit of God can produce. Jesus cursed a fig tree. Cursed it. He said that thing will never bear fruit again. You know why He cursed it? Because it had leaves on it, but it wouldn't bear fruit. It had signs of life. It appeared to be living, but was dead. In essence, it wasn't bearing fruit. Now, one of the most grievous things, I think, to the heart of God is for Christians, listen to me, I'm talking to all of us this morning. Some of you who have been, your leaves were shining. The roots were growing deep. You were beginning to develop. And then you pulled yourself away from the things that give life to the people of God. I've seen some of you when you were right on the verge of just blossoming. But then you pulled away. And you're not going to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit produced in your life. And that grieves the heart of God. Don't you hate it when your children are just about ready? You're just about convinced. Boy, they have got that one thing conquered. Boy, they finally got a hold of that thing. And then they go back to it. I wonder how it is with God when He looks at His children. Now, we come to the fruit, the Holy Spirit, that probably gets overlooked, in my opinion, probably gets overlooked more than any of the other nine. Chances are if you walked up to somebody that knew a little Bible and said, give me the nine fruit of the Spirit, gentleness might be the one they'd have a hard time thinking of. Now, there's probably a reason for that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:1, he said, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He said this in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Paul said, we were gentle among you, just like a nurse with her children. So what does it mean to be gentle? As a born-again, Bible-believing, King James fundamental fanatic, what does it mean to be gentle? What does it mean if you're a militant Christian to be gentle? Aren't we all soldiers? Are we not supposed to be good soldiers of the cross? Of course we are. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. We sing that song. We're all soldiers. We're to gird up our loins like a soldier, the Bible says. We're to war a good warfare. We're to fight a good fight. Sure, it's a militant church. It's a militant Christianity. Our God is a God of war, and He's a jealous God, and He's out to stamp out the enemy. How in the world can a soldier be gentle? He can. He's supposed to be. He can be militant and still be gentle according to the Bible. I looked up gentle in dictionaries and concordances and tried to figure this thing out. It means mild. It means kind. You ever met a real man that was kind? I have. I know some men that just have a kind spirit about them. Just a kind nature about them. Listen, I looked this up. I could not believe it. It sort of just struck home with me when I saw this. Oftentimes, when the word gentle is used, it's talking about in your conversation with others. A lot of times it has to do with your speech. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Titus this morning. It won't hurt the Sunday morning crowd to look at a little Bible. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Let's just look at a little Bible. We'll look at a couple of passages here and then a couple of passages as we get through. Here's Titus chapter 3. I want you to notice the context in verse 1 has to do with those in authority. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Watch this. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but what? Gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Hey, that has to do with the way you talk about authorities. We ought to be careful. I'll tell you what, young people, young boys, young girls, you better be careful how you talk about your mom and daddy. You better be careful how you talk about some men that are over you. Maybe it's just a school teacher. Maybe it's a principal. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's some man in this church. Hey, how the Bible says concerning all those that are in authority and all those in power, when it comes to how you talk, you better be gentle. You better be careful what you say. I wonder how many of us in our 30s and 40s this morning might still be reaping some of the consequences of having a bad mouth when we were a teenager. Is it possible that God, do you not reap what you sow? Hey, one of the reasons people may be so sharp and so pointed towards you sometimes and maybe rub you the wrong way, you might just be reaping what you sowed as a kid when you had a sharp tongue. We're to be gentle, the Bible says. It's talking about our conversation here. Now look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Just go right in your Bible. As soon as you get through Hebrews, you'll find James. Look at James chapter 3. Oh, this one cut me to the core this morning. I actually prepared this message several days ago as far as most of this material. And this morning, looking over it, hey, this one gets me. I want what this is talking about here. Look at James chapter 3. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. That's the kind of wisdom you want. Worldly wisdom is talked about in verse 15. But this is the right wisdom. It says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. And then what's the next word? Gentle, watch it, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Gentle, we're talking about that word gentle in light of conversation, in light of our speech. And you know what it says? It says it's gentle and easy to be entreated. That means it's approachable. That means that you can be talked to. Somebody can ask you a question. Somebody can come to you and talk to you and converse with you. And you're not just snapping at them, and you're not just cutting them down, and you're not cutting them off. You're easy to be entreated. Husbands, shall we talk about it? Hey, men, are you easy to be entreated? Hey, let's talk about dads for a minute. Can your children get your attention? Or is it always, not now? I told you I'm busy. Would you shut up for a minute? Would you be quiet? I can't talk right now. Can't you say I'm doing something? Hey, that gentle spirit in the light of conversation, in the light of our speech, the Bible says is easy to be entreated. Hey, moms, your kids have to say mom 16 times? Oh, how many times I've reminded Rhonda and I feel for her because my wife's a full-time homemaker, full-time mom, full-time wife, full-time cook, full-time teacher. My wife's the hardest working woman in the world, and I know there are times when she gets so tired of hearing, "Mom!" Especially when Dad's sitting out there. I know that gets old, and I know that gets tired, but I said, "Oh, one of these days, you're going to long to hear those words, Mom!" Oh, one time, you know what we do? We just get so busy and so narrow-minded and so focused on our little bitty world that sometimes our kids can't entreat us. No misunderstanding. My wife's a whole lot better than this than I am. But my point is, we got to be careful about getting to the point in our lives to where people can't even talk to us. Are you listening? Easy to be entreated. Gentle does not necessarily mean this sugar-coated, passive, effeminate, sissy stuff. I'm talking about a man that's a real man. But little kids can... You know, little kids like sitting on Jesus' lap. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, that's the kind of man that's a real man. But he's gentle. A mom can be gentle and yet firm. A husband can be firm and yet gentle. We need to be gentle, the Bible says. As I said in our Bible study on Wednesday night in Romans, when we're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, we tend to think about Sunday morning, the preacher, and the church service. Boy, we had a Spirit-filled service down there at the house of God. Boy, you could feel the Spirit moving at the house of God Sunday night. Boy, the preacher was filled with the Spirit. That evangelist came in and he was filled with the Spirit. So when we think of being Spirit-filled, we normally think of church, and we normally think of a song service, or we think of a prayer, or we think of something to do with church. Hey, you know what we need? We need some Spirit-filled moms, and Spirit-filled dads, and Spirit-filled husbands, and Spirit-filled wives, and Spirit-filled grandmas, and Spirit-filled grandpas. Hey, we need some Spirit-filled carpenters, and Spirit-filled mechanics, and Spirit-filled plumbers, and dentists, and doctors, and lawyers, and Spirit-filled housewives, and cooks. We need people that are gentle, because the Spirit of God's done a work in their lives. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your home? In my home? Gentle. I mean, how about a husband or a father that's filled with the Spirit so much that on Monday afternoon, after a terrible 10-hour day, a little boy and a little girl comes in and says, "Daddy, what you want, honey? Come on, let's talk." I'm talking about a mama that on Tuesday's been on her legs, on her feet for about 12 hours and she's about wore out. And that little junior says, "Mama, are you gentle?" That's the fruit of the Spirit. And see, that's why I say it's going to take the Holy Spirit. We ain't talking about the kind of gentleness the world gives you. You do what some of you do to maintain gentleness, you're going to need the Spirit of God. Amen. Every now and then, some people just test your gentleness. And don't misunderstand me. I've done said it. I've done qualified it. Doesn't mean you're going to be gentle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sometimes there's a time that you shouldn't be gentle necessarily. But when you're supposed to be, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to be it. Amen. How about a mom or dad that's filled with the Spirit on Friday night? Wouldn't that be a great thing in the home? How about a teenager? Friday night says, "Mama, can I? Daddy, can I?" And mom and dad says, "No, you have no business being there." Teenager, you got the gentleness of the Spirit of God? Is your tongue gentle when you don't get your way? You listening, teenagers? Through the Spirit, gentleness. Easy to be entreated. The word gentle is only in the Bible 5 times. Then the word gentleness is in there 4 times. Then the word gently is in there 2 times. That's a total of 11 times. Studying each one of those words in their context, because they're not the same root word, I found out that gentle means mild, kind, appropriate, patient, yielding, humble, condescending, excellent in demeanor, useful, and gracious. Listen. That word condescension is something I'd like for us to get a hold of. I don't mean condescending in the wrong way. I mean condescension in the right way. I'll explain that here in just a moment. In America, there was a time where when we raised little boys and little girls, we always wanted the little girl to grow up and be a lady. And we always wanted that young boy to grow up to be a what? Gentleman. What's a gentleman? They used to train boys to be gentlemen. We want you to be a gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, they'd stand up and say. Huh? That used to be taught in America. It used to be taught that a young boy ought to grow up to be a young gentleman. Now that has nothing to do, please don't misconstrue this, has nothing to do with being passive, effeminate, sissified, lethargic, etc. That's not what we're talking about. That's not a gentleman. But a gentleman gets the right training and especially allows the Holy Spirit of God to work in him so that when a young man gets a certain age, he has the liberty to be gentle at the right time without his manhood being threatened. Now let me explain that real simply. He can be gentle because he's confident and competent inside. But young boys who think they have to prove how tough and manly they are insecure sissies. Some of you young boys, you want everybody to know that you're a man, that you're tough, and that you make your own decisions, and you're a certain kind of, you've got your own attitude about what a man is. Your problem is you're insecure, you're incompetent, you got a problem in your heart, and you're trying to prove you're something you're not. Because a real man can do something that might look a little bit less than masculine, and he really don't care. His manhood's not in question. He's a gentleman. He can be soft without being a sissy. The Bible even says over in Proverbs 15:1, we're talking about our speech, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Have you got that one down, fellas? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Listen, but grievous words stir up anger. You know what that is? That's a man with a gentle spirit. He can give a soft answer and calm things down. But you know what the problem is with a man that doesn't have gentleness? He ain't going to calm it down. He's going to stir it up. I mean, you got a gentleman that's got the spirit of gentleness in him, and what he's going to do is he's going to bring calm assurance into a situation. You get a man that doesn't have that spirit of God on him, he doesn't have any gentleness about him, and boy, you're going to let him step right into the middle of something that's about to explode, and when he puts his foot in, boom, it explodes. Man, you ought to be the gentle spirit in your home. Nothing wrong with being a gentleman. Nothing wrong with a young man being a gentleman. Being kind. Being gracious. Is there? Except for in the culture we're creating, where men have to be obnoxious. They have to be loud. They have to be in charge. Have to make your own decisions. I'm a man. You're an insecure wimp. You're a spiritual punk. And if you can lift 500 pounds over your head, you're still a spiritual wimp. Boys, if you're forever trying to display your masculinity, chances are you don't have any. I hate to tell you this, but you didn't work to get hair under your arms or on your legs. It's the way God made you.
having them don't make you any better than anybody else. Boys have to be taught this stuff nowadays. Sad, isn't it? I'm trying to give you something, church, that we need to get a hold of. Arrogance, a bully spirit, loudness, aggressiveness on the outside is all too often a sign of insecurity on the inside. That's among men and women. I'm going to say even more so for ladies, because the Bible says you're not supposed to be loud. You're supposed to be quiet. I'll tell you about a loud woman. 9 out of 10 times, I'll tell you about a loud woman. 9 out of 10 times, she's trying to make you think she's something she ain't. Gentleness is easy to be entreated. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Sort of a different definition from what we would expect, but boy, the Bible's got the insight. Amen. You see, if God's people could get a hold of that, I wonder how impressed the world would be with us. See, we wouldn't have to impress the world. If we just had that spirit of gentleness about it, the world would look at us and say, wow, there's something different about that fella. There's something different about that young man. There's something different about that lady. They're not tooting their own horn. But boy, it's coming across loud and clear. By the way, preachers, the Bible says, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there because I want to get to the next text for our final point here. Preachers, maybe you should hear this. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Out to teach, patient, in meekness. By the way, gentleness and meekness are close together. We'll talk about meekness here real soon. But the Bible says the servant of the Lord is not supposed to be strive. He's to be gentle unto all men, out to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You see, if we'll be gentle with people that don't have the truth, we'll probably do a lot more good than trying to beat them over the head with the truth. Now, I'm not talking about a pastor standing in a pulpit and screaming and yelling and ranting and raving. I'm talking about how we deal with individuals one-on-one. Some folks hear me preach and say, well, boy, that's what Brother Ron does with people. You don't. If you ain't never been in my study, you don't have a clue. Some of you men that think I'm this way all the time, why don't you go visitation with me on Saturday morning? You'll see how I deal with people one-on-one. There is a difference. There is a difference. Truth of the matter is, when I get up on Sunday, I'm supposed to be preaching to Christians.
Right.
And many times, Christians who are supposed to know the truth.
Amen.
That's why you deal different with your 16-year-old than you do your 2-year-old. Amen.
Amen.
There is a difference. There's a great illustration of gentleness in the Bible, and I'd like to close with it. If you take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll close with this. This is it. 2 Samuel 22. Would you turn over there, please? You know what one of my favorite songs is? Pass me not. Somebody tell me the rest. O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. I love those words. Pass me not. O gentle Savior. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, David is recounting some things. And I want you to notice what David says in verse 1. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. He says, God is a rock and a fortress and a deliverer. You believe that? Okay, he goes on to talk about God. Look over at verse 35. By the way, you'll find the same thing in Psalm 18.
It's also in Psalm 18. But here in 2 Samuel 22, he says, God is my rock and my fortress. And in verse 34, he says about God, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places, or my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Isn't that great? But look at the next verse. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Isn't that strange? He's a rock. He's a refuge. He's a shelter in the time of storm. He makes me strong and He makes me so good that I can beat up my enemies and I become like a ball of steel. A ball of steel is broken in my arms, and yet it's His gentleness that's made me great. What in the world is David thinking about? Listen to Isaiah. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. Here He is, ruling with a rod of iron, carrying a little lamb in His arms. Are you getting the picture? Here's what David said. David said, Thy gentleness hath made me great. It's the picture of a humble, gentle condescension of an Almighty God. What we get in 2 Samuel and Psalm 18 is the God who has to stoop down to look at the clouds. God who has to bow down in order to converse with the angels. Condescends to become a little baby and grow up as a man. And sat down with the multitude and put a little boy on his lap and look at a harlot and say, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. What is this gentleness? It's having the strength and, if you will, even the masculinity of a soldier and yet being able to get down on somebody's level and in a still small voice say, Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give thee rest. You see, it's one thing to stand up in church and sing and pray and preach and fellowship and tell it like it is and say, Bless God, the Bible says that's wrong, that's wicked, that's a sin, that's no good. But when you're standing face to face with that crowd at the mall, you know what you're going to need? Gentleness. When you're dealing with that person who's abrasive, you know what you might need some of? Gentleness. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Bible gentleness, not worldly gentleness. It doesn't threaten your manhood. It doesn't threaten your authority. It's so much confidence and so much competence that you can get down on somebody else's level and in a still, small voice, deal with them and help them. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.